The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the Feast of Passover. Pentecost. Pentecost. It's interesting to note that Pentecost was a Jewish feast before it was a Christian feast. The word itself comes from the word Pentecoste, which simply means 50th in Greek. It was an ancient Jewish feast that commemorated the giving to Moses of the law on Mount Sinai, 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. It was meant to celebrate the covenant that God made with his people, the sign of which was the law, and specifically the Ten Commandments handed to Moses. In the first reading today, it says, "When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled." So that was the Jewish part of the feast, which Christianity took into itself and then changed the meaning quite a bit for what we celebrate with this particular feast. We hear an account of driving wind coming through the place where the disciples were, and the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles that are there and emboldens them. This harkens back to the first line from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss, while a mighty wind swept over the waters as creation began to take place. In other words, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Hebrew word ruach can be translated as breath, wind, or spirit. So in that first verse from Genesis, we see that the mighty wind sweeping over the water is God creating. And we would say that was the Holy Spirit, because God's Spirit is powerful and active. Who is the Holy Spirit? Thomas Aquinas used to say that the Holy Spirit is love with a capital L. He came up with this concept called spiration in his writings. It's basically this: the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. The love that exists between them is so perfect that it becomes concrete, and in fact is the Holy Spirit. So we would say that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, but also the very love that exists between the Father and the Son. And when you and I are in a state of grace, that Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. The love that exists between the Father and the Son becomes active within us when we are in a state of grace. The Holy Spirit animates us for Christian living. In the Gospel, Jesus breathes on the apostles. It's kind of strange, walking in and, you know, that sort of thing. Well, it's symbolic of him giving the Holy Spirit to them. So there's the link. Ruach can be translated breath or wind or spirit. The link is that Jesus breathes on his disciples, and the next line says that in doing that, he imparted the Holy Spirit to them. The disciples were locked in the upper room. They were afraid. And Jesus comes to them through the walls and breathes on them, giving them the Holy Spirit. And then they become emboldened, And they go out into the world and they preach the gospel, even though for most of the people in that room, it will mean their death eventually. When we are locked in the room of our fears and our concerns about life, if we call on the Holy Spirit, He can come to rescue us in the same way, breaking into our locked room and impelling us to throw wide our closed doors and boldly proclaim the gospel, even unto our own persecution, if that be the case. I had an experience of this during my seminary years. After my second year of theology, I started a program called Clinical Pastoral Education, where they teach you how to be a chaplain in a hospital. And so I got called to all kinds of situations, day and night, to minister to folks who were sick or dying in the hospital. And remember, I only had 2 years of theology up to that point, so I didn't have a lot of experience yet. And I was an engineer before that. You know, plus, those of you who know me, I'm an introvert. I can fake extrovert if I need to, but I'm not a people person, let's say. And as an engineer, that worked out great, didn't it? So sometimes when I got called to the hospital at 2 a.m. and it was a really bad situation, I was shaking in my boots. I have to admit, it takes practice to get over that fear. Anyway, they called me one night and there was this guy laying in the bed about my age. I was 27 at the time. He had been drinking with his 4 friends and driving in his car in Colorado Springs, and they got into a terrible wreck. 3 of his friends died on the scene. While I was talking with the man, the nurse came over and told him that his best friend, who had been sitting right next to him, had just died as well. The nurses had not even cleaned the glass out of his hair yet. I think it was because they were so angry at him for doing something like this, that some of them just didn't want anything to do with him. And there's a part of me that understands that. If you're into healing people, and in comes this guy who caused the deaths of 4 other people through his own stupidity and negligence, that would be hard to deal with. Well, to say that I felt inadequate about what to do with this guy would be an understatement. And so I prayed to the Holy Spirit to put in me the words that this guy needed to hear, because I really didn't know what to say personally. After that prayer, words started coming out of my mouth about the love of Christ and how forgiveness could be His, but it was going to take a very long road to get there, that he was going to have to face up to the 4 deaths that he had caused, including his best friend, and that at some point it would be appropriate for him to stand in front of each of those families and tell them that he was so very sorry. I told him that he needed to start really devoting his life to God, which obviously up to that point had not been the case. These words came out, seemingly from nowhere. It felt like I was being played like a musical instrument. That was the Holy Spirit. He will do these things in us if we open our hearts and let Him do these things. He wants us to be a force in the world, using us. That which Jesus breathes into us is His Holy Spirit. And it gives us a great power as Christians, a power to heal and transform, and even the ability to forgive and be forgiven. Some of us may actually be scared of the Holy Spirit. We may say, hey, I just want to go to Mass on Sunday, and that's it. I don't want any of this other holy roller stuff, you know? Well, remember in the second reading it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The most basic thing about our faith, that Jesus is Lord, we can't even get past that until the Holy Spirit is in us. And besides, without being in a state of grace, we can't go to heaven. So the Spirit and what the Spirit does in our life is not an option for a serious Christian. It is not something that only the holy rollers get into. The Holy Spirit better be a part of our life, or our Christianity is not authentic. And so we need to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. No matter what fears we have in us about receiving the Holy Spirit and having Him start animating our lives in ways that maybe make us feel uncomfortable at times. That's why people are afraid of the Holy Spirit, because He impels them to do in the world what God wants done. But Jesus says in the gospel today, just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And that was right after He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I want to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit in each of our hearts. Some of you may know this prayer, and if you do, please join me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.